In a world in which movies struggle to find plot, Alan Adams of The Main Edge breaks it down for you in Pass the Popcorn. Now on Downtown with Rich Kimball. Let's
all go to the lobby. It's 19 after 5 o'clock. Yes, it is time to talk movies. Alan Adams from The Main Edge with us for Pass the Popcorn. Brought to you by Bangor Mall Cinema 10, Stillwater Avenue in Bangor, and the Bangor Drive-In. Hello there, Alan.
Well, hello there. How's it going?
Wonderful, sir. How's your weekend?
Good. It was good. Spent a bunch of time down east. Hung out with the in-laws a little bit. Took Stella up to camp.
Oh, but she loved that.
Well, you know, it's funny. Like, she's never been a water dog. And so we're trying to sort of ease her in that direction. So she actually swam for the first time this past weekend. Granted, it was immediately back to shore, but it still counts.
Did you have to toss her in?
With no tossing, but like definitely carried her out and like gently placed her down in the water and let her kind of get used to it. Like, she wasn't scared, which was nice, because you never want to scare the dog. But she was clearly like, okay, I mean, I don't understand what you guys are trying to do. I would like to go sit in the sun, please. Thank you.
Goodbye. Boom, boom, boom. Here I am. Look, I'm doing the dog paddle. Who knew? Oh, that's nice. That sounds like fun.
Yeah, no, it was really nice. It was a nice weekend. It was nice to see the in-laws and all that stuff. So, yeah, it's been a nice run. And the weather's been mostly agreeable. So, yeah, can't complain.
Nice. And you saw a couple of movies, too. Where do we begin?
I did. Let's start with the big one. War for the Planet of the Apes. I don't know how familiar with the, because this is the third installment in the sort of trilogy. I don't know how familiar you are with the previous two movies, but one of the things that has become very clear with these films is, in terms of like sophistication and a basic sort of non-lowest common denominator approach to like intelligent filmmaking, this might be the smartest like summer blockbuster French franchise currently going, I think. And they closed it really strong. Matthew Reeves is the director. He directed the previous installment, Rise of the Planet of the Apes. And he also co-wrote the script. Basically, it follows in the aftermath of the previous movie, the sort of be-all, end-all conflict between the super-intelligent apes led by Caesar, played by Andy Serkis.
Who's just incredible.
Well, the amazing thing about it is I feel like he and other people involved with this franchise, guys like Toby Kebbell, there's a fellow by the name of, it escapes me right now, Terry Notary, who is also in this film and played King Kong in King Kong Skull Island here a few months ago. But they're really sort of inventing a new type of cinematic performance, like kind of before our eyes. The idea of motion capture as being something that's distinct and separate from standard film acting or standard voiceover acting, like it exists in that gray area in between the two. And we're seeing sort of the birth of that as its own kind of thing. Andy Serkis is the vanguard. Someone like Notary is probably like the next generation, the sort of following in the footsteps of folks like Serkis, who was so wonderful in the Lord of the Rings movies and so great as this character in this movie. But yeah, it's basically bringing this trilogy to a close, like sort of. It's got kind of an Apocalypse Now kind of vibe to it. There's an extended sequence that's reminiscent of something like Stalag 13. Like it's a movie that very much wears its influences on its sleeve. It's not particularly subtle, but I don't think subtlety precludes you from being smart, especially when you're talking about big CGI extravaganzas. Which and the fact that Andy Serkis is playing, a computer animated ape that talks, and he's one of the most affecting characters in any movie you're going to see this summer. Like the work that's being done in these films is just remarkable to see. And I'm not going to go so far as to say that I don't think there are going to be more films in the franchise. I think there are. There are too many nods to the source material in this film to rule that out. You know, I mean, there's a baby monkey named Cornelius. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, and there's a young mute girl named Nova, which fans of the original movie would remember. You know, so it's like those sort of crossover references are happening. So they might continue. But this story has really kind of come to a very very strong, very logical conclusion. So as these, you know, some of this stuff, this world might continue on, but a lot of these characters, I think their stories have come to an end, and that's for the best. I think for the most part, this franchise has avoided the law of diminishing returns that chases so many of these summer blockbuster franchise type deals. And so I really hope that they own that and prevent themselves from, you know, going to the well too often and diluting what honestly is, you know, probably the best $150 million movie you're going to see. Do you know if that makes sense?
No, absolutely.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So War for the Planet of the Apes. It's great. If you're a fan of the previous movies, by all means, you should really check it out because it's a really strong close.
Excellent. The other one I'm very excited to see. I've heard nothing but good things, and it's such a interesting and compelling story. Tell us about The Big Sick.
So I've heard a fair amount. I'd heard a fair amount about The Big Sick. It's been in limited release for a little while, so it took a couple of weeks for it to make its way to us. But it's based on a true story. It stars Kumail Nanjiani, who's so great on Silicon Valley on HBO. He's a Pakistani-born stand-up comedian. And this is basically the story of the courtship between he and his wife, Emily. It's based on a true story. He plays himself in the film while Emily is played by the actress Zoe Kazan. It's one of those movies that has an impeccable comedic pedigree, because not only do you have these two really talented actors, there are a number of really, really talented comedians filling out the cast. Judd Apatow produced, whose skill as a filmmaker might be exceeded only by his ability to, you know, discover and curate new comedic voices and talent. It's directed by Michael Showalter, who was so great on the sketch show The State back in the day. He's prominently featured in the Wet Hot American Summer stuff. Like, these are guys who know comedy. And so you have these people coming together to tell this story, which is Kumail. He's a stand-up comedian in Chicago, and he has a very traditional Pakistani family who are desperately trying to set him up in an arranged marriage. And so every time he comes over to dinner at his folks' house, someone conveniently, air quotes, drops by for him to meet and, et cetera, et cetera. But he's not interested in any of these women, but he finds himself drawn to a young lady, a grad student at Northwestern named Emily, played by Zoe Kazan, who heckles him during one of his stand-up sets. It's a typical sort of rom-com meet cute that is kind of how do I put this? It feels more believable because you know it happened, if that makes sense.
Right.
So their relationship develops fairly quickly. He struggles because of his familial roots. She struggles with a difficulty with commitment. And then she's struck with an illness and winds up being hospitalized while their up and down relationship is in very much a down sort of situation. And so that's where he is when he meets her parents, who come from North Carolina, just phenomenally by Holly Hunter and Ray Romano. Who are both outstanding in this movie.
And she has to be placed in a medically induced coma.
Yeah, like she's like, it's one of those things where it's like she is completely, sort of out of the picture in terms of, being able to interact with any of these people. Her parents know the situation. And so he has a very, very much an uphill climb to sort of stay as part of what's going on. Like, because, you know, they're her parents. And so they essentially dismiss him early on, but he refuses to go quietly, and so you see that relationship develop in a lot of ways parallel to the development of his relationship with Emily, and you see him trying to come to terms with what it is that that he wants in terms for his own life, but you know whether or not he's willing to sacrifice his family in order for to achieve some sort of personal and professional happiness. It's critics have been talking about the death of the rom-com for years. Like, go on the internet and you can find any number of 10,000 word think pieces about how romantic comedy is dead as a genre and blah, blah, this and blah, blah, that. And then you see something like this and you realize that there's a lot of life left in that sort of film. And it's one that it just takes, really talented people telling a really interesting story in a really interesting way.
She's wonderful. I saw her in a what I thought was a terrific little indie film a few years ago, Ruby Sparks. And she was delightful in that.
Yeah. Just across the board, like everybody in this film really brings it in terms of performance. It's really sad. It's really heartfelt. And it's hilariously funny. And there are a number of jokes that I wish I could share with you, and I cannot.
No, I like it even more.
It's got a real spirit to it that is unlike anything else that you're going to see. I was floored by it. Like, I laughed a lot, cried a little bit, ran the gamut of emotions. And it's kind of rare to get the opportunity to do that in a movie theater, especially here in the dog days of summer. Wow. So if you're looking for really good quality filmmaking, The Big Sick, that's where you ought to be.
Two winners this week.
Yes, sir.
Like the sound of that. Hey, I want to mention, too, before you go, Al, what's going on this Friday. It seems like forever since the Focus Group has been out there on the stage at Next Gen Theater.
Yeah, no, the last time we did Next Gen was back in, mid-April, I think. It's been, our longest hiatus in our group's history. I don't know that we've gone any longer than this between shows before. And so this Friday at Next Generation Theater, the aptly named The Focus Group gets their improv groove back.
Well, we hope.
Fingers crossed. Ideally, we'll remember how to do this, but no promises. 8 p.m., $5. We're going to be doing what we do. Some old favorites are going to be there, and perhaps a ghost of Focus Group past will be joining us on the stage as well. So
nice.
We'd love to see you folks get out there. It's been a while. We miss you, not as much as you miss us, obviously, but we do miss you, and hopefully we'll see you out there.
Cool. We'll do it. We'll see you on Friday, and we'll see you right here on Wednesday.
Yes, you will.
Alan Adams of the Main Edge, Pass the Popcorn, brought to you by Bangor Mall Cinema 10 and the Bangor Drive-In.